everybody, and welcome to this edition of Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. And, you know, we have an outstanding podcast for you today. We're going to be joined very soon by the cast and crew of the brand new BritBox original, Bletchley Circle San Francisco. Now, obviously, it is a spinoff of the wildly successful worldwide sensation Bletchley Circle. And I will tell you this, I've seen the first four episodes of the show, and they do not disappoint. It basically ticks all the boxes. It's entertaining. There's great acting. There's great writing. There's great direction. As I said, it ticks all the boxes, and we're going to have a chance to talk in depth with the cast and crew of Bletchley Circle San Francisco, which we said airs, of course, starting this week on BritBox. And if you're watching in the UK, you already know that it's on ITV. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get to the folks at Bletchley Circle San Francisco very, very soon. But as always, we're going to check in with the news first. Netflix has optioned the rights to the New York Times bestseller Shoe Dog, written by Phil Knight. Now, the book takes us inside the world of the man who changed how we buy tennis shoes forever. Now, Nike's early days is where we're going to start this movie. As an intrepid startup and the evolution into one of the world's most iconic and game-changing, as well as most profitable brands. Now, we don't have a release date yet from Netflix on when the film will hit the little screen, but we do know, and this is good news for Netflix, that Emmy-nominated and Academy Award-nominated producer Frank Marshall will be at the helm of the film. He'll be joined by Phil Knight, who's serving as co-producer on the project. We will keep you posted on what happens there. Meanwhile, Comcast is now the top bidder for Sky. Earlier this month, we told you that they made an offer valued at a staggering $34 billion for the London-based company. Meanwhile, Disney, who just won the bidding war for 21st Century Fox, they still say they're in on Sky. But, earlier this year, as I told you, Disney CEO Bob Iger told me that he desperately wants Sky. But I think, and this is my intuition on this, is that the adding of the Fox content is likely to keep them on the sidelines for this one. Meanwhile, as I speak to you from D.C. up road in Philadelphia, friend of the podcast, Comcast and NBC Universal chairman Brian Roberts is hell-bent on getting Sky. And, look, knowing Brian as well as I do, he's likely to win this battle, which gives, Disney 21st Century Fox. It gives Comcast Sky. Now, why does Comcast want Sky? It's a question you guys have been asking me on Twitter. Let me try to answer it for you. First of all, they're going to be offering their own streaming service in 2019. So content is very important to them. They already have the very rich NBC Universal portfolio in their bag. But Sky has 23 million subscribers, and it gives Comcast an opportunity to do what they've wanted to do for a long time, and that really is expand their operations to Europe and bolster their defenses against the onslaught from, Netflix and Amazon. Now, Sky offers top original programming. If you've got premium sports content, it's really, Sky is the leader in pay television in the United Kingdom and other markets, including, Germany and Italy, which, of course, certainly doesn't hurt the folks at Comcast, and that's why they're after Sky. Now, let's go back to the Disney deal for a moment. Very important thing happened yesterday, and that is that the Walt Disney Company shareholders okayed the $71.3 billion deal that will place Fox's most coveted entertainment assets in the Disney arsenal, which is already pretty formidable. Now, Disney will acquire 21st Century Fox's television group, as well as the film studios, their cable networks, including FX, National Geographic Channel, Star India, and a sizable stake in Sky PLC, as well as majority control of the streaming service Hulu. So, again, as we said before, this is a win-win for both Comcast and for Disney, and certainly not a bad deal for Fox either. So you got the three giants coming out of there with something. It may not have been everything they wanted, but it's certainly a pretty good deal for all three entities. So that does it for the news for right now. The big story this week, as I told you before, is that the already popular Bletchley Circle, which we all have enjoyed over the years, is returning as the gang goes to BritBox for a BritBox original, Bletchley Circle San Francisco, that debuted here on the streaming service this week. And, of course, for those of you listening in the UK, you already know that it is on ITV. So, next up, the cast and crew of Bletchley Circle San Francisco, after this, from Harrah's Entertainment and the Silver Legacy Resort and Casino in Reno, Nevada. Okay, I want you to get your calendar, all right? Get them out right now. Mark down and circle August 28th in big, bold type, all right? August 28th, mark it down. It is the concert event of the season. And where? Well, where else would it be? At our friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada. They want you to circle that date because they have booked not one, but two outstanding rock and roll legends. That's right, Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper, that's right. Now, we all know Rod Stewart is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for good reason. If you have never seen him in concert, then you have missed one of rock and roll's greatest showmen. I personally seen him many times, and trust me, folks, Rod Stewart does not disappoint. His unique voice and his ability to hold an audience in the palm of his hand makes him one of music's most adored singers. Now, we know his hits. Maggie May, Hot Legs, You're in My Heart, First Cut is the Deepest, and Young Turks. Those are just a few of the many ones. But there's more to what makes him one of the best in the business. He has added some great American standards to his music arsenal. And his Vegas shows drew rave reviews. So we got Rod Stewart on board. What's up next? Well, let's add a little New York sass to the evening. And our New York girl herself is a true pop culture icon, Cyndi Lauper. She commands the stage as well. And consider this, folks. She was the first female artist with an album to have four top five hits on the Billboard Hot 100. They included Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Time After Time, All Through the Night, and She Bop. Now, her second album, which debuted in 1986, had a number one and three number three hits with such amazing tunes like True Colors and Change of Heart. She also mastered the Broadway stage as a lyricist and, of course, as a composer. She had hits like Kinky Boots, SpongeBob SquarePants, The Musical, and, of course, Patti LuPone's Matters of the Heart. Now, these two iconic stars are together one night, August 28th in Reno. That's Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper, the true musical legends that they are going to be on that same stage the same night, August 28th. Now, don't miss this dynamic duo as they embark on their summer tour with a stop at the Reno Events Center. That's the Reno Events Center, August 28th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. Or call 1-888-288-1833. That's 1-888-288-1833. It's a presentation by The Row and Harrah's Reno. And, of course, our good friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada. So get those tickets now, okay? All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to this edition of Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. This week, Bletchley Circle San Francisco made its U.S. debut on BritBox. It is a BritBox original, and of course, BritBox is the streaming service of the BBC and ITV. It is a spinoff of the wildly popular ITV series, obviously called Bletchley Circle. Now, here's a very short Cliff Note version of the plot. By the way, we have a much longer and far more detailed one in our show box. Please click the link for a much better and stronger detailed backstory. But here's the elevator pitch on that one. It was set in London in 1952 when women who were code breakers during the war at Bletchley Circle Center came back together after the war to use those code breaking skills to solve murders. Okay, so that's the premise of the original version of Bletchley Circle. Now, it debuted in the UK on ITV in 2012. Here in the United States, it premiered on 2013 on PBS. Now, it had a two-year run, but it has been played many, many times on both PBS and other outlets. Strongly suggest that you find it, binge it, and give you a little bit of a backstory on how things set up for what we are about to talk about, and that, of course, is Bletchley Circle, San Francisco, which takes place in 1956. Gene and Millie, who are the show's returning characters, are struggling to find meaning in their jobs as well as their life. Then they read of a homicide in San Francisco that's eerily similar to the unsolved wartime slaying of a former colleague. Now, they leave England and head to San Francisco, and they find a couple of Americans, Iris, who's played by Crystal Belent, and Haley, who is played by Chantel Peloso, who are fellow code breakers. Together, they set out to solve the riddles left behind by what appears to be a serial killer. Where is it? Interesting. Well, I've seen the first four shows, and I got to tell you something, folks. I was a very big fan of the original Bletchley Circle, but I'm a much bigger fan of Bletchley Circle, San Francisco. It is really an outstanding show. It's well acted. It's well directed. It's well written. And I couldn't be happier to introduce you all to, without any further ado, the gang that we're going to have a chance to talk to today about the show. Let's talk to Rachel Sterling, who plays, of course, Millie Hartcourt. Julie Graham, who plays Gene McBrien. Executive producer, writer, and showrunner, Michael McLean. Executive producer of the original series and co-producer of the new series, Jake Lushington, and director Alexandra Lexi LaRoche. Gang, I got to tell you something. As I said before, big fan of the original series, even bigger fan of the new one. Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about it? I'm telling you, my friend, you got a winner here.
And I mean, part of it is that one of the things that I was excited about in doing the show is that you have the opportunity to kind of learn from the previous series, learn mm-hmm. from those episodes to see what really the moments that worked best in that show and figuring out how to do more of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's just been that period of reflection where, you know, we got clear that we wanted to make sure that these mysteries were thematically mm-hmm. trenchant, that they were as complex and as interesting as we could make them. And also that the time that we spent with the characters was maximized. That we, you know, mm-hmm. for me as a writer, that's the stuff that makes me interested. And I think it's really what makes an audience interested, is that they want to spend time with these characters and learn more about them, learn more about how they're interrelating. And so we had the opportunity with this new show to dig in more to those character dynamics and to take the time with the mysteries to really just mm-hmm. make them as interesting. And what was important for me was to make sure that these mysteries for each of these women had an emotional impact. That so often you see crime shows where those solving the crimes don't really have, they're not affected by the mm-hmm. crimes they're solving.
They don't have a mm-hmm. scale.
Yeah, and so, because it's not their job to solve crimes every day, they need to have a reason. They need to have an emotional reason. And then let's see what happens in the solving, in the working of this out, how it affects their lives and their relationships.
Let me throw this out to the actors. What has always impressed me about this show and what impressed me about, screening the first episodes I did is it is just it's a great piece for of acting for women. I mean, it's just an awesome vehicle. Talk, if you will, about that part of it.
Well, we're not there for any other reason other than our friendship between one another and right. our intellectual, with the fact that these women are trying to find purpose in their lives, and they find purpose by throwing their intellectual, their brains to solving crime. You know, it's joyful and fun, and it's a caper, and it's an endeavor. But the true, the realistic aspect of it is in their friendship and their familiarity with one another, and in the moments that Michael is allowed in this particular series for the characters to develop. It's about women trying to find their place in the world, trying to find how they can best serve society in a world where they're not given a place to do that anymore.
Apologies. I'm not in the room, so I don't know who spoke. I apologize.
With Rachel, Millie.
Hey, Rachel.
Hello. Hi.
I was just going to say that, that in terms of character development, you know, sometimes you play a part and it's not really, you know, you play that part and there's not really a lot of places that you can go or take that part because they exist in a certain world. So,
sure.
So to be able to take Jean and Millie to a brand new environment and see how that affects them and see how they exist there and almost see it through their eyes in a way, and how they, I mean, profoundly change as people. And I mean, and especially for women of that period where they were there were so kind of low expectations of them as people and what they had to offer, to see how the kind of new world affects them and how they change and how they develop is not only exciting to watch, but it's so brilliant to play because there's endless possibilities of places that you can go. And I know that Rachel, I mean, I'm speaking for Rachel, but I know because she's my bitch.
And I'm sure you say that in a loving way, correct?
Yes.
Oh yeah. In a loving way.
But you know, but we are very proud of these characters. We love them so much, and we love playing them. But also, we really love them as people. And so, to take that story further was just an absolute joy. I mean, it was wonderful for us, and especially as actresses, to have, you know, great, great stonking parts for women who are interesting and who are interested and not restricted and you know, leading from the front.
Yeah.
And not just being a cipher. Yeah. For
me. You know, I thought some of the interesting parts too was, I mean, picking the Fillmore District of San Francisco in that period of time, I mean, that's a pretty gritty part of the United States at that time. And so you've got that tenseness and that whole routine. But the funny thing about both Rachel and Julie is there's a bit of a cheekiness between you guys that makes it fun, even though you know you're involved in murder.
Yeah, I think there's a complicity between them. You know, there's a complicity between them that is, it's a kind of levity that's pretty British as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a keep do and carry on. We've got to keep going on with this, but we will be able to have a bit of a laugh along the way. And I think some of that is a wartime spirit. And
a shared experience.
Yeah, and some of that is the fact that I've known the old baggage for 20 years.
And I have nothing else in my life.
And Jake, the executive producer and producer of the first two series, I think that one thing, obviously, Rachel and Jimmy have known each other for a long time and a great relationship. But also, even across the first two series, and you could even see they're very yin and yang as characters. They're very, very opposite, and that their actual friendship versus the differences as characters on screen I remember there's a wonderful scene in series two where they're having to dress Julie up in a sort of glamorous gangster, and there's a wonderful dressing table scene between the two of them. And it was the bit actually that I remembered when Omni came calling to say we want to do a spin-off, and I thought of that, and I just thought I want to see more of those two characters play off against each other.
Yeah,
it's to the credit of all of you. It took me about 10 minutes into the first one to literally feel comfortable that, you know, they're back. And you know, great. The fact that time has passed really didn't factor that much into it. It was like, you know, you can tell that the way the writing, the directing, and of course the acting between, you know, Rachel and Julie, it's like they didn't leave. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Oh.
And what's lovely is then you introduce that, you know, these other fabulous women into the mix.
Right. And you've got a great ensemble cast. I mean, there's no question about that.
I mean, and that's what it felt like. It felt like a real collaborative process and a very strong ensemble cast, and also just, you know, having other characters that were so, you know, diverse and I mean, amazing guest artists as well. We had on the show. We were so lucky.
And it's totally original, isn't it, for us to see to do a show where we don't know these American, Vancouver, and Canadian actors, and it's a relief,
right.
I think. Turn on regular telly, terrestrial telly in England, and see characters and meet actors and actresses that you know
right.
In England, you always have a place in which to identify them, and I last saw him in this, and I last saw her in that. You don't know where these people come from, you don't know what to expect of them. It's so rejuvenating and exciting to meet new characters about whom you know nothing, and to see new talent from Canada that have not. I think that's why we've got that fascination with Nordic, with anything that's foreign, because we want to see new faces on our telly. We're hungry for it.
And also because it's what I think exactly what Rachel says. There's that wonderful thing is that where you don't prejudge a character by who's playing it, because you've never met them before. They just are the character, and you just go with that. So it's a very pure, fun experience, and I think one that you really go on with Crystal and Chanel playing Iris and Hayley. They just arrive, and they're these people, and who are they, and what journey are they going to go on? And that's a really wonderful thing I've enjoyed.
And also it's great because it's not, you know, they don't just kind of meet each other and all they're suddenly all buddy-buddy. You know, there's a certain amount of suspicion, and there's a certain amount of, you know, easing their way into a friendship and like normal relationships in life. You know, then they don't just suddenly, you know, kind of, they're wary of each other to a certain extent, but through a shared experience, they become close and they become reliant on each other. And it's just so, it's such a wonderful addition to that to the original show and to the storytelling. It takes it in places that are endless. There's endless possibilities, and I mean, Michael's just done the most amazing job of bringing all these other elements into it, modern elements, you know, period elements, obviously set in that time. But I mean, it's just probably never have gone if it just stayed in the UK.
Let's use two stories about you know, the homosexual, what became the underworld, because they weren't allowed to exist in the underworld, and to a degree, communism. And we go in sort of, and there are no dead bodies in it. So it's a real exciting departure. It's very much more character driven and less sleuthing, I suppose. And just,
but still with the elements of fun in it.
And mystery
and
it just has, you know, with each episode, I think we gain in confidence, and you know, and we're
but
so glad.
Each of these characters, this is Lexi speaking. Each of these characters has fears, and the other characters, through friendship, is helping them face those fears and find courage to move forward. So whenever anyone falls, they get picked up, and and we need you, and there's a moving forward. You see the which is a very modern theme, force of women coming together and how powerful that makes them.
We'll be back with more Upstream On with the cast of Bletchley Circle. But first, these words from Harrah's Entertainment. Hey, y'all want to have some fun? I know I do. Tell you what, do me a favor. Get your calendars out. All right? Here's the date I want you to circle. August 28th. All right? August 28th. And trust me, my friends, you're going to want to jump on these quick. Now, our friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada are putting together one heck of a big evening. And that, of course, is coming on August 28th. Trust me when I tell you, it's a concert event you're not going to want to miss. Now, why? Well, they are bringing two rock legends together. That's right, two rock legends one night. Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. That's right, Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. How about that for a duo? Well, I'll tell you what. You got Cyndi Lauper. She brings a little of that New York sass to her. Now, I've seen her in concert. I know many of you have as well. Now, consider this. She was the first female artist with an album to have four top five hits on the Billboard Hot 100. They included, and I'm telling you, these are songs you know without almost me saying. Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Time After Time, All Through the Night, and She Bop. Her second album, which was released in 1986, again, great concert tour, loved it then, you're going to love it again, had one number one hit and a number three hit, True Colors, and of course, Change of Heart. Now, here's something I don't know if you knew, but I know I've seen these Broadway plays, and I know that she's been a part of it. She's been a lyricist and, of course, a composer for Broadway now for well over a decade. Some of her latest hits include Kinky Boots, SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical, and, of course, Patti LuPone's Matters of the Heart. Meanwhile, you know, as we said before, the other person on the bill is none other than a rock icon himself, and, of course, I'm talking about Rod Stewart. Now, he's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and, ladies and gentlemen, look, if you have never seen him in concert, you have missed one of rock and roll's greatest showmen. I've personally seen Rod Stewart in concert many times. He does not disappoint. His unique voice and his ability to hold an audience in the palm of his hand makes him one of the most adored singers in the business. With hits like Maggie May, Hot Legs, You're in My Heart, The First Cut is the Deepest in Young Turks, there's no question, he's a rocker. Plus, he's also added some great American standards to his musical arsenal. His Vegas show drew rave reviews and, of course, numerous sellouts. So, you've got Rod Stewart, you've got Cyndi Lauper together, one stage, one night, August 28th, Reno, Nevada. This is Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. That's right, musical legends. Don't miss this dynamic duo as they embark on their summer tour with a stop at the Reno Events Center. That's the Reno Events Center on August 28th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com or call 1-888-288-1833. That's 1-888-288-1833. Presented by The Row and Harrah's Reno. And thanks, of course, to our friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada, for always being ahead of the game and bringing you big events. So jump on those tickets, jump on them now, okay? Cyndi Lauper, Rod Stewart, Reno, Nevada, August 28th. Be there, baby. Welcome back to Stream On. Let's continue our conversation with the cast from Bletchley Circle, San Francisco. The other thing, too, is that, you know, throughout the entire series, you all keep picking each other up. And I think that's what you're talking about is so empowering and so much, you know, so
inspiring.
Awesome. Yeah.
Helping each other and helping each other realize their potential.
And if anything, you know, I think one of the lessons of the Me Too movement mm-hmm. is when women do bond together to support, to bring their unique skills to the situation, mm-hmm. there's nothing that can't be accomplished. And in a mm-hmm. small way, that's what we're, those are the themes that we're trying to suggest in this. And these are all women who have, you know, as Lexi says, their fears, their limitations, their frustration, their sorrows. These are frustrated, underestimated, brilliant women. Yes, I love it. Leslie says underestimated and overlooked. And that is, and yet somehow when you put together this sort of unique constellation of talents and temperaments, it's a thrilling thing to behold.
What about playing something in the late 1950s and, you know, that whole time? You know, obviously Mad Men was a big hit because of this playing, you know, relatively in the late 50s, early 60s. There seems to be a passion for that time period, and you guys nailed it pretty well.
Well, thank you. I mean, for us, it's not about stylizing the time period.
Right.
You know, don't get me wrong, Mad Men was a fantastic series and obviously a touchstone for us. Mm-hmm. But this is really about, it's a real world. It's you know, the consequences of these crimes are real. Mm-hmm. The emotional fallout is real. And I think that it was our goal to reflect that in the feel and the look of the show as well. It's obviously a world we hope an audience is going to enjoy spending time in, but that there's a texture and a verisimilitude to it, because for us, it's not just about everyone putting on the perfect 1956 catalog dress and parading around. It's much more about understanding, okay, how much money does this character have? Yeah. How many articles of clothing would she possess? And just kind of working to it from that realm.
I guess what I meant there was that time period was a little bit more gritty, and women were starting to really assert themselves at that point in time. And I think that's what I guess I was trying to get at.
I would argue that they're asserting themselves in a way because of the war, that the war allowed women of different walks of life to talk to each other, and they'd never really been allowed to do that. Millie and Jean would never have met in their lives if it weren't for the war. They came from totally different worlds, different classes, different educational backgrounds, and here they are, you know, best friends. And it's because of that, the war, because, you know, the war is what arguably, you know, allowed for the seeds of the feminist movement, because it showed women that they were, that when they're out of their isolation, that anything is possible.
And also when they're needed, actually they can contribute massively. It's just that people say they don't need them or they can't do it when there's not an emergency or they want to put them back where they used to be. What's the 50s is an attempt to put them back in their box, and them not refusing to stay in the box. And that's what this show's about, is about the box not fitting anymore and those women coming back.
Well, I think, too, one of the things that one of the exciting things, to me anyway, is that because of BritBox and other streaming services, but specifically we'll talk about BritBox on this one, here in the United States, we're actually getting to see the brilliance that, you know, is the BBC, ITV group of shows that we used to have to wait, you know, months, years, whatever, to get to. We're now getting them in almost real time. And, you know, to get to see this BritBox original series is such a treat, because you can really see it. You can watch it. You can really get into it, and you don't have to wait so long.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fans can be part of the conversation rather than the sort of late to the party consumer that you know, this premieres a day less after it does in the UK. And so it's fresh for them as it is. In fact, the latter ones will be seen earlier, months earlier, in the States than they will be in the UK. And so they're the first, you know, they're the first eyes on this. They're part of that that fan community and that critical response that, you know, that we live and die on, basically.
Okay, thanks to the great crew and cast of Bletchley Circle San Francisco, Rachel Sterling, Julie Graham, Michael McLennan, Jake Lushington and Alexander LaRoche. Of course, we know her as Lexi. So we will be back with more of Stream On right after this from Harrah's Entertainment. Okay, I want you to get your calendar. All right, get them out right now. Mark down and circle August 28th in big, bold type. All right, August 28th, mark it down. It is the concert event of the season. And where? Well, where else would it be? At our friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada. They want you to circle that date because they have booked not one, but two outstanding rock and roll legends. That's right, Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper. Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper, that's right. Now, we all know Rod Stewart is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for good reason. If you have never seen him in concert, then you have missed one of rock and roll's greatest showmen. I personally seen him many times, and trust me, folks, Rod Stewart does not disappoint. His unique voice and his ability to hold an audience in the palm of his hand makes him one of music's most adored singers. Now, we know his hits. Maggie May, Hot Legs, You're in My Heart, First Cut is the Deepest, and Young Turks. Those are just a few of the many ones, but there's more to what makes him one of the best in the business. He has added some great American standards to his music arsenal, and his Vegas shows drew rave reviews. So we got Rod Stewart on board. What's up next? Well, let's add a little New York sass to the evening. And our New York girl herself is a true pop culture icon, Cyndi Lauper. She commands the stage as well. And consider this, folks. She was the first female artist with an album to have four top five hits on the Billboard Hot 100. They included Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Time After Time, All Through the Night, and Shebop. Now, her second album, which debuted in 1986, had a number one and three number three hits with such amazing tunes like True Colors and Change of Heart. She also mastered the Broadway stage as a lyricist and, of course, as a composer. She had hits like Kinky Boots, SpongeBob SquarePants, The Musical, and, of course, Patti LuPone's Matters of the Heart. Now, these two iconic stars are together one night, August 28th in Reno. That's Rod Stewart and Cyndi Lauper, the true musical legends that they are going to be on that same stage the same night, August 28th. Now, don't miss this dynamic duo as they embark on their summer tour with a stop at the Reno Events Center. That's the Reno Events Center, August 28th. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. Or call 1-888-288-1833. That's 1-888-288-1833. It's a presentation by The Row and Harrah's Reno. And, of course, our good friends at the Silver Legacy Resort in Reno, Nevada. So get those tickets now, okay? All right. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Stream On. I'm Jim Williams, your host. And if you have not yet taken the opportunity to be one of the over 40,000 people who subscribe to Stream On, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, we certainly make it very, very, very simple for you to do, okay? All you got to do is go to the Apple Store, right? Because we're part of the Apple Podcast family. So go to the iTunes place and download Stream On. You can get us at the Google Play Store. You can get us at Blog Talk Radio. If you are someone who likes to get their podcasts via the apps, well, cool. That's all right. We're on the top three, Spreaker, Stitcher. And, of course, if you're one of the 175 million people on the planet, myself included, who have downloaded the TuneIn app, then all you have to do is go to the TuneIn app and search Stream On with Jim Williams. Hit the favorite button, and every week you will get a brand new edition Stream On sent to your phone or to your tablet or to both. Okay. All right. Also, if you happen to have an assistant device, right, and you've downloaded us to one of those apps, all you have to do is say, hey, Siri or Google or Alexa, in my case, because I like to use Alexa. I say, Alexa, please play the latest version of Stream On with Jim Williams. And guess what? They do it. Okay. So It's very simple. Please go out and subscribe to Stream On today. Okay. All right. Thanks so much. Binging at the Beach. Okay. Now, Hulu folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm giving you one that is so much fun. So much fun. You're just going to love it. It does not require thinking, which, of course, if you're on the weekend, you don't want to think. You just want to watch something that's entertaining. Hulu, iZombie. I'm telling you right now, it is absolutely hilarious. It's wonderful. Please check out iZombie on Hulu. I know you're going to enjoy it. Now, okay, shameless plug. Here we go. Netflix. We have two of our favorite people, two friends of the podcast, and that, of course, Kristen Bell. Who doesn't love Kristen Bell? We do. The Good Place. Kristen Bell, Ted Danson, The Good Place. If you haven't seen it, please, by all means, check it out. Hilarious stuff. If you have seen it, go back and watch it again. You know you enjoy it. Come on. Kristen Bell, Ted Danson, Good Place on Netflix. Also, Allison Brie, another one of our sweeties, people that we just love to have on the show. Allison will be in, of course, Glow. She's on Netflix with that great Netflix original, Glow, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, Allison Brie. She's hilarious, and she just kills it in Glow. So Netflix, Good Place, Kristen Bell, Glow, Allison Brie, shameless plug for both of them. But hey, you know, they're people that we like, and they like us, so why not plug them, right? Of course. Okay, what are we going to watch sports this week streaming-wise? Okay, there really isn't much, but what is here is quality, and that is the Senior Open on Golf Channel and NBC. Remember that check the times and location in your area of the country because it is being streamed from Scotland, so you got to get up a little earlier than normal to watch it, but you know, if you're a golf fan, obviously seeing the Open Championship, in this case the senior version, last week was the Open Championship. This time it's the Senior Open Championship, and it is, again, just like last week on Golf Channel and NBC. Check again the times in your location to make sure that you know that it's on early, okay? Okay, easy enough there. Next week, who's going to be on? Well, let me tell you. It's Ankish Binoy, the Vice President of Content Acquisition and Strategy at Sling TV. That's Ankish Binoy, the Vice President of Content Acquisition and Strategies at the streaming service Sling TV. All right, check them out. Okay, now, let's not get away from here without thanking our guests for today. And, of course, that is the wonderful and talented cast of the smash hit on BritBox, a BritBox original. And that, of course, is the wonderful Bletchley Circle San Francisco. You know what? While we're talking about binging, tell you what, take BritBox with you too. All right. Now, if you don't subscribe to BritBox, that's cool. They give you a 7-day free trial. Go on it, take it with you, watch Bletchley Circle San Francisco, and check out all the other content on BritBox while you are over at the beach or at the lake or in the mountains or wherever the heck you are this weekend getting some chill time, okay? It will be worth the time. It will be worth the effort. And I guarantee you that if you stream BritBox for 7 days on their free trial, it's very likely that you are going to sign up for it, okay? Okay, thanks very much. Okay, let's get to our promotional consideration. Promotional consideration for those of us here at Stream On. We'd like to thank our friends at Sling TV, the best cord cutting service on the planet. Choose from some of the top pay TV channels and craft your own package that fits your interests as well as your budget. You can get entertainment to sports. You can get news to lifestyle programming. You can get multilingual channels. It's all right there. Check out Sling. Also, a free 7-day trial at sling.com. So go to Sling, check out their free 7-day trial. We thank them for being a promotional sponsor. Also, for the best equipment for your streaming service, go to Boom Media. They have the latest in streaming boxes and pretty much everything you could possibly need for streaming. You can get it at Boom Media. Check out boommedia.org for all of their outstanding streaming content stuff. Okay, so check them out. All right. That pretty much does it for us this week. Have an outstanding and fun weekend, and we will see you next week. Thanks from all of us at Stream On for joining us this time. We'll see you next time right here on Stream On.